you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Now we're rolling, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Harrington at the helm. Harrington at the helm. That's a podcast in itself, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Michael. How's things on your end?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hold on. Let me. How about I pull the microphone closer to me? I'm doing great, Harrington. Things of mine are just fan-dappy-dozy. Welcome to the show. Later on, shortly, in about 20 minutes, we have Bo Nickel joining us. Great show planned today. Going to get the latest on him and what's going on. We're going to talk about Anderson Silva, Jake Paul. We're going to talk about the fights this weekend. Then Harrington's going to throw some absolutely stupid shit at us. But how am I? Real quick. So I kind of feel validated in a way. It's not the news that I wanted. But when I was out in Bulgaria, and I hate to be going on about this film that I did, but when I was out there, I was suffering with a bad back. I don't know if I mentioned my back was killing over the last... My back has just been killing. And everyone's like, everyone's an expert. You know what I mean? Oh, you need a chiropractor. You need this. You need massage. You need to do foam rolling. I'm like, I'm trying everything under the sun, okay? I'm doing it all, but I'm still working out.
But when I was on CBD?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Oh, bro, have you tried CBD? Maybe you got too much magnesium in your diet. It's like, shut up. I've got to, I fought in the octagon for many years, okay? I'm not a normal person. Anyway, when I was on set, they used to bring me a chair because just standing was the worst thing. And then sometimes in between takes, I would lie down on the hard concrete just because that was the only thing that would bring any relief. Went to the doctor. Was it yesterday? Yesterday or the day before? Guess what? What do you think is the issue?
It's spinal.
I have a broken back.
Damn.
No, you're
still podcasting with a broken back.
I was fucking filming a movie. I've just worked out. I've just ran 3.5 miles and I've just done back and tricep. No, it's not a full on broken back. So I shouldn't make light to anyone that does have a legit broken back, but I've got a fracture. Yeah. I've got a stress fracture in the back. So they're saying they might want to go in and put a fucking titanium screw into my back to fix it. So that's something to look forward to. But still, as I say, kind of feel weirdly, weirdly validated for all the whinging and complaining that I was doing. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, see, I told you. It's almost worth having a broken back and needing a surgery just so I can not be a bitch about the complaining.
You're walking around like, man, I got a stress fracture from carrying this movie.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. Anyway, no, it's going to be great. Right, Harrington, yeah. We do have Bo Nickel joining us. I think, obviously, we got a great night of fights on Saturday. Arnold Allen, Kelvin Kattar, what a fight that's going to be. But there's a lot of, obviously, Jake Paul, he does garner a lot of interest for the wrong reasons, for the right reasons, whichever camp you're in. Fighting Anderson Silva, I am intrigued. One thing that we haven't got in the notes, Jake Paul is getting sued left, right, and center. Did you know this?
So I knew about the Eddie Hearn one. I think we put that in there a couple months ago, but that's the only one that I've heard of. Is there more lawsuits?
Yeah. So Jake Paul is being sued by Eddie Hearn, allegedly. You got to speak carefully with these stuff, haven't you? But yeah, apparently for $100 million for defamation, for saying that, you know, they were throwing fights. And one of the judges in the same... story, if you will, one of the judges that Jake Paul was alluding to, that judge himself, I don't know his name, he's suing Jake Paul as well for $25 million. The papers have been filed, so I mean, who knows where it'll get to, but a lot of paperwork, lawyers making money. But anyway, other than that, my headphones keep falling out every two bloody seconds. Jake Paul, Anderson Silva, Anderson Silva making some headlines this week, Harrington.
Yeah, so Anderson Silva, he was being interviewed by, I believe it was Combat America or some such promotion. But essentially, in the conversation, he said, I'd been knocked out twice during this training camp, right? And I asked my coach why I've been knocked out twice. And my coach said, because we need to train harder than any other fight you've ever done before. Now, Anderson did come out and amend the statement saying that, you know, it was a translation issue. I do know that the Arizona State Commission is looking into it right now, whether or not this bout should even proceed.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Athletic Commission is doing their job. You know, if anybody says they've been knocked out and knocked out twice running up to a fight, then of course you have to look into that. So they're doing their job. But I don't believe for one second that Anderson Silva was knocked out. Of course, he's come out now and he's corrected it. And he said, you know, I meant knocked down, not knocked out, which, you know, maybe that was the case. But I don't think he was knocked down either. Maybe he was. But this is classic Anderson Silva, right? This is what he does. This is what it's the mind games, the psychological warfare that he puts fighters through, his opponents. Like, look at that video. We played it on Monday. The video of Jake Paul and Anderson, they're dancing and they're all playing nice and they're all, you know. And then he's saying, oh, yeah, I've been knocked out loads up to this. I'm 47. I'm weak. I'm old. Do you know, it's what he does. He fucking lulls people into like some weird false sense of security. And then when he's in there, he plays mind games. He'll help you up off the floor when he's just knocked you down. Do you know what I mean? He'll lean against the fence and put his hands down in a defenseless posture. He just fucks with people, and he is one of the very, very best at doing it. Listen, maybe he did get knocked down, but I don't believe he got knocked out for 1 second. And I do believe this is just Anderson Silva totally fucking with Jake Paul, so he doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
This is the first time I've heard that theory, because it's and it makes perfect sense, right? Because that's an overshare to begin with, right? If it was true,
correct,
why in God's name would you ever share that, right? And even if it is a knockdown, you're right. Like, even if he meant to say knockdown, that has to be just trying to have him gas up a 25-year-old who has no idea what it's like getting in there with arguably the greatest of all time.
Exactly, exactly. Because as you said, why would you mention that? That doesn't help anybody. And then the logic goes, oh, because my coach said I have to train as hard as I've ever trained. Look at the fights, the magnitude of fights that Anderson Silva has been in. Do you know what I mean? Do you think this is the one at 47 when he's been retired for years? This is the one where he's going to train harder than he's ever trained. Look, listen, I get it. You want to win every fight. And of course, there's always risks associated with any combat sport. You know, so he doesn't want to get hurt. And this is boxing, you know, it's all predominantly headshots, no kicks, no leg kicks, nothing like that. It's all, you know, I'd say 90% to the head, a little bit to the body. But it's just bullshit right from the get-go. And I love it because I don't know what he's trying to do. I think Jake Paul's trying to play nice, you know. Anderson's pretending that he's getting knocked out. The reality is, I saw Anderson Silva at the open workouts. Brian, have you got a clip? I tell you, Anderson looked very, very sharp, as did Jake. In fact, if you haven't done it yet, Jake, Brian, Jake, my headphones are falling out every 2 seconds. Pet's heads are falling off. Jake Paul showing up on a horse to the open workouts, and then with a bunch of gigantic robots behind him. Thoughts on that, Harrington?
Well, I mean, that's his entourage. He has built a brand, right? And like for you know, as hand jobby as it is, those giant robots now, I associate that with the Jake Paul experience. It's like, oh yeah, this is a Jake Paul fight. You can tell by the giant NFL on Fox robots.
I mean, as you said, they are kind of hand jobby, but they are cool as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I kind of want one. I mean, what? It's just a suit, right, with a guy in it, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not, his buddy doing the robot in
the not robots. Actual robots. Well, I'm devastated then. I thought, where's Jake Paul getting these robots? He's in bed with China. And then he shows up on the fucking on the horse. You know, fair play. The kid's a showman. He's a showman. But I don't think he wins this fight. I really don't. I mean, listen, he can bang, he's big. Is he the better boxer? I mean, who knows? I mean, he's been doing only boxing, but he's not a better striker. He doesn't understand the magnitude of fighting. He doesn't understand making reads, reflexes, instincts. And when you see him here on the pads, you know, he's looking good, still looks nice and sharp. One thing about Anderson as well, other than Uriah Hall, which was his last fight in the UFC, which he did get finished in, TKO, I believe. Was it knocked out? TKO? No.
TKO punches.
TKO. Yeah. And then obviously there was Chris Weidman, but Chris Weidman, he was goofing about. And then I'm not taking anything away from Chris. Shout out, Chris. But he was. We know that. He's always had a chin. You know, Anderson Silva's got a chin. I mean, and he can punch. I mean, he flatlined Tito Ortiz one shot. And Tito Ortiz, whether you love him or hate him or whatever, he always had a chin. Tito Ortiz could take a punch, you know, and granted, yeah, just like Anderson, he's getting older now, you know, not as old as Anderson, but still. But the fact that he flatlined him in one shot, yeah. I think we might see Jake Paul lose the undefeated moniker, which he's so proud of this weekend.
And like it's also that Anderson understands like the boxing fundamentals, right? Because Anderson's first pro boxing match was like, I feel like it was in the 90s or something, yeah, right?
Long time ago.
He did have like that one pro boxing match very early on in his career. And it's one of those things where it's like when your mind is working like that, you could see it like as he was hitting the pads, just the constant movement that wasn't there for Jake. Sure, Jake's hands were super fast. Jake hits super hard. But that movement in boxing, right? I don't think he's ever seen anything like Anderson Silva. And I think that's going to be a real problem for him.
Well, it all comes down to experience as well, you know, and as you say there, I mean, head movement and all these type of things, that's all well and good. And these are skills that you can learn, but setting traps, understanding the sport, understanding yourself, you know, trusting yourself, doing what you do in sparring or doing what you do on the pads, that crossing over to sparring, and then that actually crossing over to what you do in a fight. I mean, that takes years and years and years, and then to control your emotions and things like that. And I'll be honest, Jake's off to a great start, you know, as much as you said, to use your term, hand jobby, as he is in general. He's doing great things, and he's doing well, and he's getting better, and he knocked out Tyron Woodley. But that fight was garbage until it happened. There was no action. The fight before that with Tyron was garbage. There was hardly any action as well. And then it was Ben Askren and so on and so forth. So, you know, I give him his due. I do. I give him respect for taking on Anderson, because I think he thinks that he's, and who knows, maybe he goes out there and knocks Anderson out. And if he does, I'll be the first one to congratulate him and say, well done. But I think he thinks his formula of taking on old retired UFC champs works with all old retired UFC champs. And not all old retired UFC champs are the same. Not all old retired UFC champs are equal. You know, yeah, and yeah, Tyron Woodley. Tyron was great, but that ship sailed and he lost his fire, and he you know, he was a wrestler first as well. I don't know. It's interesting. What's your prediction? And Brian, give me yours.
I have to say Anderson Silva just flummoxes Jake, right? Like I've never seen Jake in a situation where he absolutely cannot land that big power shot and have to rely on like boxing fundamentals to just garner, like to earn points and overtake a round. I don't know that he has that. So I'm going to go with the more complete, well-rounded fighter in Anderson Silva in my mind.
Yeah. Well, certainly the more experience. Yes, Brian, expert analysis, please. Let's go.
Here it comes. I mean, Anderson Silva is the GOAT. Of course he's going to beat Jake Paul up. Did you just see his fucking sparring footage there? He looks super sharp. I think he's going to knock him out just like Tito Ortiz.
You think he's going to knock him out, do you? Oh, God. I'm not being a hater, but I kind of like to see that. I would. Does that make me a hater for saying that?
No, absolutely
not.
No,
it makes you a realist, Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
Anderson Silva killed you one time. Like, he's going to...
Whoa. I won that fight.
You got better. You got better.
What do you mean I got better? I won that fight, you prick.
It's a Monty Python bit. Come on.
Oh, is it really? I don't know.
I got better.
Yeah, well, you get better. I won the fight. Do your research, dickhead.
I know you won.
I was watching live with a Michael Bisping ticket, so I was very glad that
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he knocks him out. Oh, saying that, yeah, of course. What am I saying? Of course, it's Anderson Silva. Yeah, I've got Anderson winning by a knockout. Stoppage. What is it, 8 rounds?
I don't know. Let me look that up. Yeah,
it's all right. Don't worry about it. 8 rounds, I believe. Anyway, don't look that up, Harrington. Put your attention into something more useful. Like, we were talking about robots couple of weeks ago with Anthony Smith, right? And you tell me that the Chinese have taken it a step further to terrifying everybody.
Right. So a Chinese military contractor put out a video yesterday showing like proof of concept. So they essentially took one of those like, you know, Boston Dynamics style robot dogs, right? They attached a rifle to it, right? Like I'm assuming a semi-automatic standard combat rifle.
Yeah, no, I've seen this.
Then they took a drone, right? Attached the dog to the drone, flew it into a remote location, dropped it. The drone leaves. Now you just have one of these. You can drop behind enemy lines and let it go to town.
But hold on. We've seen, because we had with Anthony, we had it on, right? The little like dog-like thing with the machine gun attached.
Right. And now they're showing the capabilities to have an unmanned drone, bring that into whatever location they want, drop it, and then let it automate on its own.
Right, okay, very cool, very excited technology, but I'm disappointed in the story. I'm disappointed because remember you were on about the Tesla thing, and it's actually a humanoid robot, right? And it walks around the house, and you can program it to do your washing or do your laundry or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I thought, when you told me about this, I thought you meant it was one of those walking around with a machine gun, like legit a T-1000, you know what I mean, from Terminator 2. So that's what I was like, when you told me this, as I was looking for my headphones, which keep falling out of my goddamn ears, I'm like, oh, I've got to see this.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. It's just one of those dog things being dropped off by a drone.
Yeah. I mean, think about the implications.
Hold on. The robot dogs with machine guns are a thing already. Drones are a thing already. The drone drops the robot dog. There's no story there.
Okay. Oh, all right. Gosh. Well, I'm sorry then. Yeah. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to deliver the certain end of humanity in the form of an early prototype T-1000.
Well, it just scares me to death. All right, let's just hear from Rocket Money real quick. Listen, you know those subscriptions, you see it online. You might see an app. You see a little thing. It's a newsletter. It's a subscription. It's an app. It's whatever it is. It's $2.99 a month, $1.99 a month, $3.99 a month. Who knows what the price is? But you do it, you sign up, you forget all about it, okay? Well, the reality is, they're still going out of your bank every single month. People are wasting a lot of money on subscriptions that they don't want, they don't need. Maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. There's now a great app that I use, which helps me track all of my expenses. And because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions that I don't even use. And you might have heard it. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Listen, do you know how much money your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, where the actual total is actually closer to $200. So you're wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions that, as I say, you don't know, or maybe you've just forgotten about. Rocket Money is here to take care of all that right now. So what happens is the app will show all your subscriptions in one place and cancel the ones that you don't want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you didn't know that you were paying for. And you may even find out that you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you do is on the app, press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. So cancel unnecessary subscriptions right now with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/believe. Listen, this will save you hundreds of dollars per year. rocketmoney.com/believe. Lose those subscriptions. Save some money. Go to rocketmoney.com/believe. All right, Harrington, throw an MMA story at me.
Oh, well, probably the biggest news from this week is John Jones said that he's ready to come back. He's ready to take a fight. He has a date in mind that he is preparing for, that being UFC 282 against Stipe Miocic. Unfortunately, right, he's saying that he doesn't know what's going on with Stipe's side of things, their negotiations. Ariel Helwani came out this week and said that the UFC has released a press statement saying that the main event of 282 will be Jiří versus Glover, essentially putting that to bed.
Are you invisible? The great, the one and only fucking Bo Nickel Johnson, and he continues reading the news story. What's up, Bo? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Mike. Thanks for having me on, man.
I was just saying a few minutes ago, you've been very, very patient because obviously I was out the country for a while, and then it was night shoots and this and that, and kind of mess you around a little bit. So my apologies, my friend. But where are you right now? Looks like you've just finished in the gym.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the wrestling room actually right now. So we got a little office in here. You can kind of see there's college practice going on. But yeah, I just finished getting some work in.
Nice, nice. Congrats on everything. Obviously, you are now a bona fide UFC contracted fighter, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Very exciting stuff for me.
Yeah, after two utterly dominating performances on the contender. I didn't see your second one, but I called your first one. How did the second one go? I'm assuming it was just as brutal as the first one.
Yeah, yeah. 50 seconds, knocked the dude down, triangled him. So it was pretty quick and easy, just kind of as expected. I mean, I guess in an ideal world, right? Like, you know, I expected it to, you know, go that way, but I wasn't counting on it, you know. But yeah, it went well, so very happy to kind of get out of there without really even getting hit or anything.
So Harrington, just come on here a second. He was just going to throw a story as here. One fighter who won't be on UFC 282 was Bo Nickel, who was forced to withdraw due to injury. He's rumored to debut at UFC 285 in March instead. Do you mind? So that's disappointing. What is the injury, if you don't mind me asking?
No, all good. So basically, I was a little actually banged up going into my last fight. I injured my collarbone a little bit and kind of my shoulder and stuff. So, you know, I knew that for the contenders fight, there's obviously a timeline with that and you got to compete. So, you know, I was doing what I could to be ready to go and obviously perform well. And I wanted to get a quick turnaround, but, you know, I was pretty sad because unfortunately it just hasn't gotten better as quickly as I would have liked it to. And, you know, I'm still not at 100%. And I didn't really want to start a training camp injured and, you know, count on being healthy by the time the fight came and rehab it and stuff. So I decided the best thing for me was to push it back. And I was, you know, super upset about that because my favorite thing in the world to do is go out there and compete in front of the bright lights. And I was really looking forward to being on that amazing, amazing card that they're putting together for 282. But, you know, for me, the next one that they had available was 285 in March. So we just had to push it back till then.
Nice, nice. Well, how old are you, Bo?
I'm 26.
26, man. You've got, oh yeah, there's no point rushing going in injured, you know what I mean? You've got all the time in the world, all the potential in the world. I wish on Mondays we normally have Anthony Smith on here, and he's a huge fan of yours. And he was saying that he thinks you're the best wrestler in the whole of the UFC right now, even though you haven't technically fought in the UFC, but still, that's a technicality. In your mind, outside of yourself, who do you see as the best wrestlers in the organization?
Well, I mean, guy that just had an awesome dominant performance. Of course, you have Islam, who you know, has solid wrestling. I mean, definitely different than traditional wrestling than what, you know, I train and stuff. But nonetheless, like, his wrestling is pretty solid. You know, you have guys like Aljamain who, you know, are taking guys down quite often. But honestly, like, if you look at high level collegiate American wrestlers, if you look at it accomplishment wise, accolade wise, the guys that are in the UFC right now, I mean, Gregor Gillespie is a national champ. Justin Gaethje was an All-American. Michael Chandler. Those guys, like, I mean, aside from Gillespie, those guys really aren't, like, wrestling in their fights. So, I mean, to me, the actual wrestling level in the UFC, from what I see, is not low. Not to say that those guys can't wrestle, and they obviously are accomplished, but I don't really see them. And I don't, when I'm watching fights and, you know, dissecting film and studying, I don't see a lot of, like, high-level wrestling techniques in the cage currently.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting because you're absolutely right. I mean, Justin Gaethje is the prime example of a guy that can wrestle, you know, is as good as anyone in the UFC, but doesn't use it. And it's often kind of frustrating sometimes. You think, I wish he would shoot for a takedown. And I'm curious to get your theory on why that is. I think, and tell me what you think of this, I think it's because, I mean, you'll know. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know more, 10 times more about wrestling than I'll ever dream of knowing, being a Brit. But wrestling's hard. Maybe not for you, but wrestling's tough. I mean, I know it's the most grueling, toughest aspect of all of mixed martial arts for me. And obviously, you're a lifelong wrestler. But it's tough. Whereas throwing a punch isn't nowhere near as taxing. And of course, if it lands, it feels good. So I think people kind of fall in love with the striking side of things. But what's your theory?
Yeah, you know, I think it's right on line with what you're saying. You know, I think initially, you know, people probably with a, you know, high level wrestling background get into mixed martial arts and think, oh, I need to, like, kind of level up my boxing or my striking in general, just to kind of, you know, become more well rounded. And I think as you do that and you fall away from training wrestling every day. You know, at the end of the day, when you go into a fight, you're going to do what you train. And I think most guys aren't wrestling every day. Most guys don't have high level wrestling. They don't have partners. Like, you know, I'm still at Penn State. I build a gym out here. And so I'm wrestling with the best guys in the world every single day. Not only, you know, the best guys in MMA, the best actual competition wrestlers in the world. And, you know, most MMA gyms and places, they don't have access to those type of things. So, you know, they're just mostly training striking. And I think that's what kind of comes out in the fight. And again, like you said, you know, for me, my first professional fight, I knocked the dude out cold on his feet. And like, that felt 100 times better than pinning a guy. Felt 100 times better.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I can't fault people for doing it. And, you know, it's more entertaining. It's what the fans want to see. In my opinion, it's not what's going to win you fights long term and be consistent and be low risk and give you the best likelihood to be successful. But, you know, it is entertaining and it is more exciting for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What age did you start wrestling?
I started when I was 5. Yeah, young guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, and have you been riddled with injuries? Because my son, Callum, he's on a wrestling scholarship. He's just recovering right now. He had his meniscus removed yesterday. He has had nothing but bad luck. Surgeries galore. Most of my surgeries came from wrestling injuries. But some people, because he gets really annoyed, he says, some people, they don't seem to have any injuries or any surgeries. Which side of the line are you on?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the fortunate side. So I've never had a surgery. I mean, I have bumps and bruises here and there, of course, right? Like with anything. But no, never had a major surgery. You know, I've had my fair share of injuries. But, you know, I'm very proud that, you know, while I was in school at Penn State, I never once missed a match. I wrestled every single match that was scheduled for, you know, 4 years in my career. And I'm very proud of that. And yeah, so, you know, for me, taking care of my body, being healthy, that's just part of being a professional. Yeah. And, you know, of course there's a certain amount of luck to that where, you know, I've just been fortunate to not, step wrong at the wrong time. And, you know, cause that stuff like that happens, but yeah, I've been very fortunate with injuries and hoping to keep it that way for, you know, the rest of my career.
All right. So the you're in the UFC now and you have come with quite a bit of hype. I mean, come on, you must be aware of it. Yeah. Everyone's talking about you. Yeah, and you set your stall out straight away. You know, you said, I'm ready for all the top guys. And I don't know if you saw it at the time. I was like, oh, slow your roll. But the only reason I said that, I wasn't saying that as to, like, be insulting towards you. I was only saying that because, like, I felt at the same time I have to defend the honor of everyone in the UFC as well. I've got some fucking young kid wrestler coming and say, I'm going to take you all out. I'm like, hey, you were awesome. But, you know, relax a little bit. But who is your first opponent going to be, or can you not say yet?
So I'm not 100% sure. There hasn't been anything signed, but yeah, I get it. I mean, I saw somebody tagged me in an article saying something like that, and I was like, oh dang, like he's telling me slow my roll. I read the whole article, and I was like, he didn't really have anything bad to say. He was just, no. That was completely fair. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me and my mindset, my goal isn't to be a fighter in the UFC. It's to be UFC champ. You know, something that you did. You know how much work it takes to accomplish that, and so I'm putting in the work every single day. I'm here to be the best guy in the world. And you know, I'm not here to take it easier. I'm here to beat the best guys. So I'm a 3-0 pro right now. I've trained mixed martial arts for 1 year. I understand, you know, what point I'm at in my career. And are they going to give me a top 10 or top 5 guy right now? No, like that doesn't really make sense. I'm going to build up to that. And I think that, you know, relative to everyone that's competed in the sport or in MMA, I'll reach the top very quickly. And yeah, I mean, I think, even by the end of next year, I could see myself fighting a top 10 guy. But, you know, we'll get there in due time. And, you know, for now, I don't know who my opponent will be for my March fight. But, you know, it's my first fight in the UFC. And I'm looking to just go out there, finish this dude just as I do every single fight. So,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter who it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to build up to that anyway. You want to get the experience. You want to build your name, your star, and all the rest of it. You want to increase your contract and what you're getting paid before you start getting in those massive fights anyway. So, you know, there's a logical building process to that. But, you know, you are very well-rounded. You can strike. You've got great jiu-jitsu. Obviously, we know about the wrestling. You're not shy of confidence. You've got all the tools. So I'm going to throw a few names at you, okay? And just tell me how you think that what would happen if you were to step into an octagon. Not right now, but in your maybe in 2 years, you know.
Okay.
We're just having a bit of fun. Okay. This is just tongue in cheek. All right. Hamzat Chimaev.
Let's go. I'm ready for him right now. That's a good matchup for me. He's not taking me down. He's not doing nothing to me. I mean, I'm 6'1", 205 pounds. Like, I'm a full grown 85er. And, yes, you know, that's a matchup I really, really want. Yeah. I feel like, you know, he's obviously, has been in MMA a little longer than me. And is a little ahead of me as far as, where he's at in the organization. But I think without a doubt, we have to match up at some point. And I think that could end up being, if he stays undefeated, keeps winning, that could be one of the biggest fights in UFC history.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of his wrestling capabilities? You know, when you watch his style compared to yours, I mean, do you see flaws? Do you see holes? Or do you see a completely different kind of style that, you know, that doesn't fit with yours?
I see a guy who he competes really hard. He goes, he goes hard from the first whistle. He seems a little emotional to me. I don't really know that he makes the best decisions. We saw that in the Gilbert Burns fight. I mean, all of a sudden he's just slinging and banging with this dude for really no reason. And so I think he competes a little bit emotionally. And when I've watched his actual wrestling stuff, I mean, he's basically was like a 25-year-old man wrestling like high school kids in Sweden. Like, there's not really much to be said about that. So, like, yeah, I mean, I would hope he would beat those guys. So, yeah. But in the actual fights, I mean, he's done well. He's beat guys that don't really know how to grapple or wrestle. And then as soon as he got in there with a guy that gave him any resistance, he resorted to just brawling, which to me seems a little emotional and not like, very good decision making.
Okay. What would you rather have, a fight with Daniel Cormier or an eating contest with Daniel Cormier?
Well, I would like to compete in something I could win, so I'm not going to do an eating contest.
Love DC, by the way. Yeah,
I love DC too. He's great, dude. Great, great representative of wrestling. Obviously, yeah. You know, 2-weight world champion, and, you know, nothing but props to him. Great career. Awesome dude. So, yeah, but I would take a fight because I'm not winning that eating contest.
Yeah. Hey, he's a big old boy, but I echo everything you said. One of the best guys you'll ever meet. Love DC. Shout out. Of course, 185 then, Israel Adesanya. He's a guy, obviously, you know, I don't need to tell you or any of our listeners, the striking's incredible. And so far, the takedown defense has passed the test. But, and I say this with nothing but respect for the champion, he hasn't gone up against a wrestler of your caliber. I would say, and maybe I'm wrong here, you know, the 185 division doesn't really have too many standout wrestlers. I guess Robert Whittaker was one of the best takedown threats, and he was a guy that learned to wrestle through his MMA career. I'm assuming you'd be confident in that matchup.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody knows, like, you know, how the way that styles match up and the way those fights generally go. Like, of course, when I go in there with a guy, if I'm going in there with a guy like Israel Adesanya, like, yeah, he's a killer on the feet. He can knock anybody out. He has amazing striking, and that goes without saying. So anytime you go in the fight, of course there's risk of being knocked out. And, you know, for me, when I look at that, that's really my only chance of losing that fight. Like, there's not a really chance in the world that he's keeping me away and picking me apart for 5 full rounds. You know, I'm going to get a hold of him at some point. I'm going to bring him to the ground. He's never fought anybody with 1/10 of the wrestling that I have, with 1/10 of the jiu-jitsu that I have. I mean, I'm a genuine world-class, you know, high-level wrestler that I could go out there right now and compete in the world championships or in the Olympics in wrestling and be right there with the best guys in the world. And the same thing I feel like in jiu-jitsu. I mean, I got invited to the ADCCs this year. I could have competed in ADCC. Unfortunately, it was like 2 weeks before my contenders fight. But I mean, that's kind of where I see myself on in the grappling and the jiu-jitsu arts as well. Like, so I don't really know how he's going to stop me from bringing him to the ground and submitting him. I mean, I get it. Yeah, there's always going to be a chance that I get knocked out. But again, we've seen this story too many times in this sport, and we know how it goes.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, listen, you should be confident. I mean, you got to be confident getting involved with this sport. We've got to give the champ his respect, though, as well. But I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from. And I look forward to maybe seeing that one down the line. Who were your inspirations, you know, like when you were younger growing up? Was it wrestlers? Was it your father? Anyone like that?
Yeah, well, first off, my dad, for sure. So my dad coached me from when I started wrestling all the way to through high school till I got to college. And so, you know, he was the first guy that kind of instilled that work ethic in me, and who, you know, he coached many state championship teams at a high school level, many individual state champions. And obviously, you know, like I said, coached me from the ground up. And so he was the guy that I always have looked up to. And, you know, as far as athletes that I looked up to, I generally looked up to wrestlers. You know, my coach at Penn State, Cale Sanderson, was a guy who I watched as a kid. You know, I watched as much film as I, they didn't have as much film back in those days, but I watched as much film of him as I could. And, you know, I was always watching film, always studying the sport. And I feel like I always kind of, you know, I kind of grew out of the idea of like being a fan, like pretty quick. And I kind of started studying the greats, like for information rather than like to, you know, idol worship them and think about how good these guys are. I kind of always was like watching how they did things and seeing how I could match that up with my style and what I do well. And, you know, in MMA, there's a lot of guys that, you know, I think do things well and who have had a lot of success, but I feel like there's nobody really that I would say I like looked up to in that way. Whereas like, you know, I kind of want to like emulate them. I think there's a lot of guys that do well. I study film now to get better, not to talk about how good guys are.
Sure. What was the first UFC fight you ever saw? Do you remember? Man. Typically people do. I remember mine. It was Ken Shamrock, Tito Ortiz. Way back when.
That's awesome. I don't know if I remember the first UFC fight that I really remember, that like I remember vividly, was Gabriel Gonzaga and Mirko Krokop. And Gonzaga head kicked him and knocked him out. And it was like,
I fought on the fight before that.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. UFC 70, Manchester.
Yeah, that's like the first vivid memory that I have of a fight. But yeah, I mean, I watched so many fights. I've been a fan of the sport since I was in middle school, and always like my family, we would watch the fights like every weekend, have people over and stuff like that. So I've watched tons and tons of fights, but that's the first one I remember vividly, because it was just whoa, like I can still picture like him folding him back. That was just nuts.
No, it was crazy because Mirko was supposed to be the guy that knocks everyone out with the head kicks. And then, of course, Gonzaga serves him up a piece of his own medicine. And he mangled all his knee up and everything the way he went over. Yeah, it was brutal. All right. Okay. When you're not wrestling, when you're not training for a fight, all that stuff, what do you like to do? I heard you're a bit of a barbecue master. I heard you on Hill Warner's show talking about steaks and things like that. What is he, Hill Warner? He likes it well done, does he?
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
He's a pussy, isn't he? Yeah, be honest. I know. Shout out, Ariel.
No doubt about that. But yeah, I throw down on the grill all the time, grilling steaks, you know, burgers, ribs, briskets. You know, I'm from Texas, so I went to high school in Texas, and my dad loves barbecuing, so naturally, I'm always barbecuing, having people over and stuff. And lately, I've been getting really into hunting, so I just started hunting archery last year, and hunt elk and mule deer and whitetail and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I got an elk last year and brought home a ton of elk meat, and I've been growing.
How big is an elk, and how hard is something like that to bring home?
Man, it was a crazy experience.
I've never been on a hunting trip. You should really be talking to Anthony Smith. He's much more of a man than I will ever be. But he's all about the fucking hunting. He's got elephants, he's got giraffes, he's got horses, donkeys, ponies. God knows what he's got, but he loves all crazy shit like this. But an elk, they sound pretty big.
Yeah, it was massive. So I went to Colorado last fall, and I would say this thing was probably like 700-800 pounds. I mean, I ended up with over 200 pounds of meat back in my freezer at home, which I was super grateful for. So yeah, I was just eating that like the whole year, but it's the best. I mean, obviously, like if you get like a nice ribeye and stuff, like that steak is you know, going to taste probably better, but the fact that I was able to like, you know, put all that work in to get this elk and then processed it myself and brought it back, and just all the work that I put into it, and then being able to share that with like my wife and my family and stuff, that's like the best feeling ever.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, I'm sure it is. I'm curious though. I mean, all this talk of cooking, what are the sides? Because this is a thing that whenever I barbecue at my house, and I like to barbecue, I'm not much of a cook, but when it's grilling, as you guys say, when it's grilling, that's my world. That's my domain. But the sides, my wife does the same fucking sides all the time. It's a bit of salad. What else does she do? I don't know. But what sides are you having in the Nickel household?
Yeah, so I keep it pretty simple. Generally, like my sides are, I usually do a potato, so mashed potatoes, throw a bunch of garlic, salt, and pepper in there, or like a sweet potato with like some honey or some cinnamon, something like that. And then my wife's actually, she's getting her master's in nutrition, and she'll be a registered dietitian at the she'll graduate in the December and sit for her exams in January. So she usually handles the sides, and she makes me eat the veggies. She'll do like asparagus or salad or some zucchini or something. I don't really mess with that stuff. So she just makes me eat it. But yeah, I'm a big just meat and potatoes. That's how I do it. Yeah,
there you go. Classic, classic. All right, we won't take up too much more of your time. Harrington, are you there, my friend? You got anything you want to add? And be respectful and don't be stupid, because he comes out with some nonsense, Bo.
Would never do any of those things. Bo, thank you so much for joining the show. I was going to say, last year, Penn State, 100% best wrestling team on the planet, number of All-Americans, number of national champions. What is the likelihood of them retaining that status heading into the 2022-2023 season?
He's thinking about it.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't hear a word you said there. You're breaking up. I don't know if y'all can hear me.
No. I hear you loud and clear. Do you hear us, Bo?
I can't hear you. Y'all are breaking up.
God damn.
Dude, Harrington Bo hates me this much.
Everything was going perfect until fucking Harrington shows up. Harrington shows up and you got us now, Bo? No? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs down. Shit. He's hung up. He's gone. Harrington, you killed it.
I'm sorry, Michael.
You killed the interview.
Yeah, I mean,
It's called a reverse Midas touch.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
The Midas touch.
That's the title of today's show, Reverse Midas Touch, featuring Bo Nickel. What were you going to ask? Penn State holding on. Yeah. Do you follow college wrestling, Brian, Harrington?
Not a tremendous amount. I did a little bit when there was that one-legged guy in Iowa. That was like a fun story to watch. But that's really as deep as I've gone into college wrestling.
Bo, are you there, buddy?
I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened.
Nah. Don't be. We're actually making us laugh because we're like, Harrington has the opposite of a Midas touch. As soon as he comes on, everything was going fine. He comes on and it all just goes to shit. Do you know what I mean? So it's a typical Harrington. But Harrington, tee him up. You're asking a question about Penn State.
Yeah, I was going to ask. You have a bunch of All-Americans returning. You have a bunch of national champions returning. What is the likelihood of Penn State staying on top of the college wrestling world in the 2022-2023 season?
Oh, that's no problem at all. That's easy. I would say odds are 10 out of 10, 100%. You know, there's no doubt in my mind and all of our minds that Penn State will be, you know, national champions again in the team race. So I think this team, honestly, you know, I was on a lot of good teams. This team for this coming year could be the most stacked team that we have, you know, in the history of the program. So, you know, obviously last year and, you know, we had 5 national champions, which is insane. Only been done 4 times in the history of the sport. One of them was my sophomore year, and then like I said, last year, and then this year. I mean, I could see us having 5 again, and, you know, even possibly having 6 and breaking some records. So, you know, this is definitely the most stacked team that we've ever had, and, you know, I'm excited to watch these guys compete.
So a lot of the guys who are, you know, I just checked the Penn State website, right? Like, a lot of the guys who were formerly on the team are now competing in worlds and national championships and all over. Are there guys in the pipeline of that Penn State system that you think are going to follow in your footsteps and eventually become UFC fighters?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier that I built a gym out here. We're about 15 minutes away from campus, an American Top Team gym. And so right now there's just a couple of us training, but we got a whole bunch of guys, you know, on the college team wrestling right now that are getting ready to transition over. A couple of guys that you might know, Aaron Brooks, Roman Bravo Young, Carter Sirachi, all 3 of those guys were NCAA champions, and they're looking to compete in MMA in the future. And another one, Greg Kirkvliet, who is a heavyweight All-American for us, who is an absolute monster. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 5 years or so, we have 10-plus guys who are all, you know, NCAA champions out of Penn State that are competing in MMA and in the UFC.
So you could say that you're taking over from the Dagestanis. Because right now, and I got to choose my words carefully because I got nothing but shit because I picked Charles Oliveira. And there seems to be this theme going around that I'm against Dagestanis and against Muslims, which is not the case whatsoever. I think Khabib's a fucking legend. I just thought Charles would win. I got my pick wrong. That was it. But we do see right now there is a trend. Dagestanis and the Dagestani wrestling are kind of dominating, certainly some of the weight divisions right now. So you're saying that in years to come, you and some of your crew from Penn State, you're coming over and you're going to kick those Dagestanis to the curb, are you?
100%. Yeah, that's absolutely what we're going to do. You know, those guys think they know how to wrestle. We'll show them what real wrestling looks like. You know, and obviously, I have a ton of respect for any guy that steps in the octagon, any guy that's willing to do that. You know, mad respect to you. Those guys are at the top of the sport right now. And so I 100% do not mean it in a disrespectful way, but, you know, we think we're better and we're going to put the work in and we're here to win too, just like those guys. So, you know, the fact that there is a challenger that, you know, is working hard too, that's like what's exciting to me. And what's exciting about building this team that we have is we have other guys that are training, you know, as hard as us that want to win just as bad. And, you know, that are, I actually like those guys a lot because I think a lot of the way they handle themselves is very respectful and very, you know, honorable. And so challenging myself and ourselves against guys like that is one of the coolest things you can do. So I'm just excited because I'm sure we're going to have many battles in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's sport. You're supposed to be competitive. You're supposed to want to beat those people. So who knows, maybe we'll see something like that go down. Just we'll let you go on this, Bo. In fact, no, I got one more question for you. My son's a wrestler. He loves wrestling. And I'm sure he would freak out right now to know that I was talking to you. But as I say, he's laid in bed. He's recovering from surgery. Have you got any advice for a young wrestler that keeps getting haunted by fucking injuries? Because he's torn his tricep, he's torn his ACL, he's had both meniscuses removed, and he loves it so much, but it's really, really holding him back. And, you know, I mean, every 6 months or so, he thinks it's the end of his wrestling career and he's going to have to throw it in, but then he recovers and comes back, but then he breaks something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. You know, that's definitely a tough part of the sport. And I think a lot of the ways that people handle the sport, it's really, you're kind of fighting against yourself. So, you know, for me specific to him and his situation, I would say, make sure you're taking your rest days, your recovery days seriously. Like, you know, for myself, every Wednesday and every Sunday I'm off, like I'm not doing anything. I'm just recovering, you know, working on maybe doing some PT therapies of different kinds, you know, massage, hot, cold tub. Like those days are dedicated exclusively to recovery. So, you know, if you're trying to grind every single day, then, you know, you're just going to wear yourself out. And that's when those injuries start to come into play. And so sometimes, you know, less is more. And really, especially at a young age, if you can, you know, try to, everybody wants to do more. Everybody always wants to, you know, put in that work and put in the time. And it's more important to be efficient with your time than to just put hours and hours in where you're grinding yourself down, because it's a hard sport. And it's really hard on your body. But I would say make sure you're taking your rest days and recovery days seriously. And then, you know, kind of on a different note that's more, you know, psychological, I would just try to focus on gratitude, try to focus on appreciating the opportunities that you do have and all of, you know, the blessings that, you know, we have in our lives. Because, you know, one of my best friends, Anthony Cassar, who's actually going to be making his pro MMA debut here in December, he was a heavyweight national champ for Penn State in 2019. And he's had 4 shoulder surgeries, and a guy that's gone through so many injuries, and a guy that I've been with every step of the way, and just kind of being able to see him kind of come back from those things and get to kind of reach his goal, win a national title. And now he's transitioning over to MMA, and, you know, he's healthy. And I think that's something that, you know, it really makes me grateful. And I know that's something that he practices every day, is being grateful and appreciating, you know, all that he does have. And because he's had a lot taken away from him from injury, but he's a guy that I really, admire for his mentality and being able to do those things. So yeah, I mean, just keep your head up, gratitude, make sure you're recovering, taking care of your body. That's what I would say.
Spoken like a wise old man. I mean, I'm 43 years old. It took me until nearly the end of my career to realize that I had to, the recovery was so important, because every training session you want to go, you want to push it to the max, you want to redline it, but of course you find out you overtrain, you get injured and all the rest of it. All right, Bo, listen, loved talking to you. Can't wait for you to make your UFC debut. So 285, what is that? That's March, London.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I don't know if it's London. I heard it was US, but I'm not sure. So I heard London was, I don't know. I'll fight in London, though. Let's get it.
Well, give me Darren Till. oh, shit. That's right. I saw you and Darren Till going back and forth. What's going on there?
I don't know. He just said something. He said something about he was like a big fan of me and he, you know, wanted to get a picture with me or something. I can't remember. I think that was it, though.
Darren, he's a funny bastard. He is. I'm sure you guys would get along like a house on fire. Yeah. Listen, thank you so much, Bo, for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time. All the best with everything. Good luck. Love talking to you. And I'm excited for your future. All the best, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. There he is, the one and only Bo Nickel. As I say, spoken like a wise old man, very smart young man, very accomplished, an incredible wrestler. And listen, you know, the world is his oyster when it comes to mixed martial arts. According to Anthony Smith, the best wrestler that we've got in the UFC right now, and with the jiu-jitsu, the striking and all the rest of it, and of course the level head that he has on his shoulders, it's going to be exciting to see where he ends up and if he can become the champion of the world one day. All right, guys, let's just take a second to hear from Chok, C-H-O-Q. Here's the reality. Men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. And not a day goes by that I don't see a guy who's had a bad diet earlier on in life or low levels of testosterone naturally, and they could use an extra boost, you know, to help their training. Well, that is where Chok comes in. Chok has created a new natural testosterone booster that is taking the sports nutrition and the health world by storm. And I prefer Chok for several reasons. Listen, the supplement industry, there's a lot of nonsense out there. It's weak, it's trashy, dirty supplements. And the guys over at Chok are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure and healthy products. Chok uses full disclosure labeling, so they tell you the exact amount of each ingredient and they never use proprietary blends. There is no label fluffing or underdosing. All ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. Look, listen, if you feel like your libido is dropping, if you're not getting the results you want in the gym, if you're a little tired, if you're high 30s, certainly over 40, there's a very, very, very good chance. Well, in fact, your testosterone is dropping. It's dropping all the time, in fact. So, you know, it's something you need to look at. You know, you can go down your doctor if they offer that kind of service and have that checked, or you can just take advantage of our fantastic offer, because the Chok will help, okay? It will boost your testosterone. It will give you more energy. You will get better results in the gym, and your missus or your man may be happy. Okay, so listen, as the holiday season approaches, give the gift of better health to yourself and others. Check out chok.com, C-H-O-Q.com. And while you're there, be sure to use the promo code Bisping. You will get 35% off your order. Chok.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Promo code Bisping for a whopping 35% off your order.
Okay, so before I was rudely interrupted by Bo Nickel, we were talking about John Jones. John Jones
insulting the guest, Harrington.
I'm not insulting anyone. I'm just a point of fact. I was going into a story. Bo Nickel showed up, and for 25 minutes, I've been on ice.
How dare he show up at the time that it was arranged for? I will say this, shout out Bo one more time, but one of the only guests to show up on time. Normally, they come in fashionably 5 minutes late, but boom, right on the dot.
Two the second.
Anyway, John Jones. Sorry, Harrington.
So John Jones says that he is ready, he is training, and he's preparing for a fight at UFC 282. He is expecting to fight Stipe Miocic. Now, he did put a caveat on that, saying he's not sure what's going on with Stipe's management, why this fight hasn't been announced yet or anything official. But, you know, he is, in his mind, ready for that. Now, Ariel Helwani did say on his show yesterday that the UFC put out a press release saying that Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Prochazka is going to be the main event of UFC 282. So that seemingly squashes those rumors, unless could Jones be a co-main event?
Yeah, no, I saw this from Helwani. He tweeted it the other day, but then he put out a tweet, I don't know, a few minutes later, and it was, you know, some artwork or something showing that Jiří and Glover were the main event. So he said, okay, that puts an end to that. But the fact that John Jones comes out and tweets that, you know, and the UFC want John back, you know, now granted, if they've already got, I mean, far be it for me to talk about their business practices, but if they've already got a stacked card lined up, then you want to save something like that for maybe the next pay-per-view. Well, the next pay-per-view is in Brazil, I believe. They're not going to do that. But you see, you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But I will say this. John Jones versus Stipe Miocic, if they throw that on any card, regardless of where it is, I mean, that is going to sell. Because The anticipation of John Jones coming back is through the goddamn roof. When is it? When was that last fight that he had? Who was it? Dominic Reyes? Was it Reyes?
I believe Dominic Reyes.
Was it Santos? Was his last fight.
No, it was definitely Reyes. It was definitely Dominic.
When was that? 2 years ago? 2.5 years ago?
I think it was January of 2020, like right before the pandemic. I'm double checking right now.
Right. So that's almost 3 years.
February 2020. Yeah.
So in February, 3 years since John Jones has been in the octagon. Hey, listen, you know, he's earned a very, very good living, but just for his sake, I want to see him come back and capitalize on the ability that he has. You know, the money that he can make, you know, cash in the last few years of his career. I mean, it's unbelievable what John Jones has achieved. Yeah, and it's always a weird one, isn't it? You know, when people start throwing around the term GOAT, like we were talking about Anderson before, you know, and again, same thing as John. You know, there's there's the steroids, the allegations, the PEDs, the picograms, and it hasn't looked good for John. Do you know what I mean? And people always give me shit for this because I always say, well, forget about that. We're just talking about something different. And they say, well, you don't do that with Vitor. And people are probably right. You know, I don't. But I'm not making allowances. I'm just like focusing on the positives as opposed to the negatives. You know, people make mistakes. But that, you know, he's a piece of shit if you're cheating. But that said, John Jones, what he's achieved is unbelievable. And I want to see him at heavyweight. You know, and he's almost 3 years. That's a fucking long time. To come back against Stipe, last time that was against Francis Ngannou. When was that? Sometime, was that last year?
I believe that was January. 2021. Let's check.
So Stipe's been out for a while as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, Stipe has just been, it was March 2021. Since then, Stipe has been, you know, he's been out of action too. So almost 2 years for Stipe.
I think I saw something recently though. Stipe was on an Airdyne bike in his garage or in the gym. And it was something like, I'm getting ready. I'll be ready soon. So, I mean, listen, I don't think there's an MMA fan on this planet that wouldn't pay to see John Jones versus Stipe Miocic. Hey, and if they throw it on in December, sign me up, take my money. Who would you lean towards?
It's tough. It's very, very tough for me. It's tough for me to pick, you know, John Jones not knowing what he looks like at heavyweight, having seen Stipe Miocic take out Francis Ngannou once upon a time. However, if John Jones is fighting, history tells me you should probably pick John Jones.
You know, it's funny. I did a video from a YouTube channel. It hasn't been released yet. And it was fighters that made becoming the UFC champ look easy, the top five that did that, when they got their shot, they made it look easy. And obviously one of those was when John Jones became the youngest UFC champion ever. I think he was 23 years old when he took out Shogun. So I was watching that fight because obviously I've got to watch it and I've got to remind myself and talk about the fight in question. And the improvements, I mean, John Jones demolished Shogun. He went to the third round, but that's only because Shogun's just so fucking tough. Do you know what I mean? But he took such a beating from John Jones. But still, that John Jones, and what year was that? I think it was 2011. So that was 11 years ago. Compared to a John Jones that we saw, granted, the last few fights he did struggle. We know that. But compared to John Jones in his prime, it looked like two different fighters. Do you know what I mean? Like the movement and the footwork and the striking ability was on a completely different level to what it was when he beat Shogun. The guy continues to improve. So the point that I'm making is, if he's been training, and we know John likes to party, you know, God bless him, why not? You've got to enjoy yourself. You work hard, you play hard. As long as you can keep that balance together, then God bless him, you know, and that little bit of playing hard, that partying, that kind of mindset that makes you a little bit crazy, guess what? Helps people that do extreme things for a living, like fighting a fucking cage. But if he's been still in the gym, and judging by social media, you see these pictures every now and again, these videos, he looks like he has been. And if he's improved even more, he's going to be absolutely terrifying when he comes back.
Yeah, I always did want to see. I always wanted to see what it would look like if John Jones went full heel, right? He just went, got like a penthouse suite. Oh,
wouldn't that be good?
Just got a penthouse suite at some Las Vegas hotel and was like, I'm doing nothing but training and partying in Vegas until I got a fight, guys. And that would have been,
You just say you wanted to see the guy who hit a pregnant lady and drove away go full heel?
Yeah, there's no Las Vegas, right?
How do you go much more heel than that?
Dude, I'm telling you, if you were to just own it and take a suite at like the Aria and be like, look, this is it. This is the party suite. The title is on the door. You know,
you mean like go full on Mike Tyson? It's just like, because that's the thing about John, isn't it? You know, and listen, I'm a fan of John, and whenever I see him, he's always so polite. And I've never had a bad interaction with John Jones once. You know what I mean? Honestly, he's always been so friendly and polite and courteous and gracious with his time. And, you know, I've had really positive interactions. Of course, he's done things that aren't good, and that's to say the least, you know. But we've all made mistakes in life. But the point that I was making is that the problem is that then he balances that out with all the religious talk and you know, the goody two shoes image. The two don't go. So if he just went full Mike Tyson, I was like, fuck you all. Mm-hmm. This is me. Kiss my ass. This is what I'm doing. I'm the baddest motherfucker on the planet. All right. Deal with it. I mean, there'll be a lot of people that hate him, but oh my God. The popularity in terms of numbers as a fighter would just go through the roof. And that's the weird thing about fight sports, man. If you're controversial, people will tune in to see you watch, to see you fight. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. And I'm not saying that I condone John Jones for all his mistakes and the things that he's done wrong in his life. I'm just saying there would be a little part of it that would be awesome if he just went full on 1990s Mike Tyson. It's like, fuck you all.
Dude, I'm telling you, there's a path, right? He goes, he knocks out Stipe, takes up residency at the Aria. Next thing you know, he's telling Dana, I'll fight Francis, but it's got to be on the field at the Raider Stadium outside, you know, 100,000 people in attendance. And I feel like you could get there. I feel like Jones could catapult himself into that level of superstardom. I did want to make this point, though, with this December fight. You have January in Brazil. You have February in Australia and likely London in March for your first three pay-per-views of the year. So if John Jones doesn't get on this December card, we could be waiting until the spring of 2023 before we see him in the octagon again.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point. If that's how the chips do fall, and it's certainly looking like that right now, then one would assume they might squeeze him onto that pay-per-view. You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, John Jones, Stipe Miocic, fucking hell, long overdue. I just hope that whoever wins, he gets to fight Francis Ngannou, because I'd love to see Jones versus Ngannou. Stipe realistically deserves, if he was to beat John Jones, he deserves it anyway, and they're one apiece anyhow. So, and then we can settle it once and for all who the best one is. But Ngannou, he's another guy, just gets better and better. Anyway, let's have a look. What's all this about DeLoreans in the notes, Harrington?
Okay, so this is kind of cool. The daughter of John DeLorean, right? The guy who made the original DMC from Back to the Future. You remember that silver car with the gold wings? She has...
My favorite movie of all time. You think you don't have to break down the DeLorean to me.
Okay. Well, I just needed to put it into the. Okay. I needed to put that visual perspective into the minds of the believers, because I want them to take a look at this brand new. They're calling it the DNG, DeLorean Next Generation. You know, by literally the next generation of DeLoreans, it is going to be an all electric car with the classic gull wings and like the little racer back. Yeah, and they said they brought
at that. That's beautiful. That's amazing. Put that side image on again, Brian, if you can. Look at that. It looks a little bit like the Audi. Have you seen the e-tron, the electric Audis? They're sick.
I mean, it looks like something Harrison Ford would drive in the original Blade Runner. You know what I mean? Yep. Like it's.
When you said earlier, you went, DeLorean's, his daughter's making an electric car. And I went, Michael J. Fox's daughter is making an electric DeLorean. You went, no, the guy that runs DeLorean or owns DeLorean. So DeLoreans, were they a luxury car? Because I'm not familiar with them other than Back to the Future. And I remember when they made the time machine and Marty McFly goes, oh, you made a time machine out of a DeLorean? And there was like some kind of like, I forget the joke, but some line in there that made it sound like DeLoreans were kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Were they known as being crappy cars?
No, I mean, it wasn't like a Mazda Miata or anything like that, you know, but it was, they were considered sports cars, but I mean, they had like the kind of goofy futuristic, you know, with the gull wings were a bit gauche, even in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, not now. Not if you're Jake Paul or Sugar Sean O'Malley. They love that shit.
Would you get one of those? Would you drive down would you go to the grocery store in a car that had gull wings?
Never in a million years.
No?
Never, ever, ever. You don't want
a stainless steel spaceship to drive around in, Mike?
I mean, that does sound kind of cool. But, you know, I prefer to keep it more with the fellow man vibe. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't like to set myself apart and be a dickhead like that. When I got sold that Maserati, when I won the belt, I felt like the biggest dickhead on planet Earth. Every time I've said this before, just going down to Ralph's to get a pint of milk or some bread or something. And it was all so fucking low. And every time you went over a speed bump, the scraping and everything. Oh, very, very impractical.
I just remember being in a parking garage waiting to meet you before we were doing like a podcast someplace in LA. And I could hear you coming from about a half a block away.
Yeah. It was just so obnoxious. So, I mean, it was badass. It was cool. It was fast as a mother effer. But nah. Too much, bro. Too much. I am looking for a new car, though. I don't know what I'm going to get. I've been debating this for a while. The problem is I drive to Vegas all the time for commentary. So I'm just going to put loads of miles on it. Do you know what I mean? Talking of cars, Callum's getting a new car because he had that car crash recently. That kind of worked out because his car got destroyed. Did I tell you about the car crash he had?
Yeah. You said it was like you got woken up at like 2 a.m. by Rebecca.
Yeah. But fortunately, no one was hurt and his car was disgusting. It was a mess. It was terrible. I told you, he was parking it around the corner because it was just covered in dents and fucking the amount of damage that was done to that car. Was unreal. No wonder he was hiding it around the corner. And I think I said at the time, even his glove box wasn't attached. I don't know how you snap off the glove box, but because of the crash and because it wasn't his fault, he got paid full out. You know what I mean? So we're shopping for a new car right now. So, yeah. And he wants something decent and fast. And I'm like, no.
You're a college wrestler recovering from injury. I was going to say, is it not time, Michael, like especially somebody who drives, who logs as many miles as you do, to go full electric and just let the car do the driving for you?
Well. And number one, and Brian, maybe you can chime in on this. But what is the negative connotation that is attached to the electric cars? Because they are, I see you, apparently you're a liberal pussy. Like Rebecca has a Tesla, and I put a picture on Twitter a while ago, and the garage doors were open. You could see the Tesla, and they were, oh, yeah. Of course, Bisping would have a Tesla. He's always been a liberal pussy. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Number one, it's my wife's. Secondly, trying to save the planet, bro. But Brian, I'm sure you've got some words of wisdom and some knowledge on this, or a totally incorrect conspiracy theory.
Well, whatever. No, the thing about electric cars is that people like to get them because it makes them feel better about being good for the environment, but the electricity that they are using to fill their car up comes from fossil fuels anyway.
Well, not so, necessarily. There's hydro, there's air.
The majority of electricity in this country is produced by coal.
Solar. You know, it's all changing, bro. It's all changing.
The infrastructure isn't there for those things. The infrastructure.
Well, it will be.
Well, I agree, eventually, for sure.
It's all about reducing carbon emissions. It's better than doing nothing, Brian.
Doesn't most of Vegas's energy come from the Hoover Dam, which is hydro?
Correct.
Okay, so.
By the way, the Hoover Dam is at an all-time low right now. So there you go. Little side point for you guys. Cool. Gotta save the water.
What about all the people in Brooklyn, Mike? What, they're not getting their power from. The Hoover Dam.
Yeah, but
I don't fucking know a single person in Brooklyn. What the fuck? Hey, yo, I don't know about the Brooklyn, baby. But isn't the conspiracy that it's just another form of control? Because if they get everyone over to electric cars, when they decide they just want to turn it off, they can turn it off. Because I hear these ramblings from crazy actually, people.
That is completely 100% true. They have Teslas repossessing themselves. Like, so people aren't paying their Teslas, and Teslas just fucking turning it back the autopilot and taking him back. You don't even need a tow truck.
Yeah, but hold on.
That's pretty cool.
There's nothing wrong with that. You buy a car, you don't pay for it. We're like, okay, so you can buy it, but if you don't pay, we're going to drive the car back. And that's like a real good insurance policy.
I don't have a problem with that. But if they can do that, that means somebody can just take control of your car. That's not crazy. That's literally a fucking issue that's out there. People hack cars. Like, you can go on YouTube and watch somebody hack a car and then remotely pilot it.
I saw completely unrelated but massively related. Stay on brand. Tesla they're under a criminal investigation right now because of the self-driving automated feature that they have, with the amount of accidents and things like that. And I think they were telling porky pies. I think they were misleading in some of their information. I forget the exact details. Just look it up, Brian. But yeah, Tesla's under a criminal investigation right now because of that. But still, anyway, they're fucking sick, though. They are. They're very, very fast cars.
I mean, anytime you put robots out there, they're gonna kill some people. Movies have told us that.
Yeah, they have.
Does self-driving work? Like, do you ever you said your wife has one. Have you ever driven it and just turned the self-driving on and been like, I'm just going to hang out while we go to Ralph's?
No, never done it once yet. And there is a feature, because you have to pay when you get the Tesla. I think it's an extra $10,000 or $15,000.
Yeah,
it's self-driving feature. But what it does have without that is it will drive in a lane. And it will use the radars. It will slow down and speed up according to the traffic. And it will drive itself. You take your hands off the wheel. Because a friend of mine has it that I work with. And he's there. He always takes naps and all sorts. And he just does his phone and does all his work and stuff when driving to Vegas. He loves it. But we've never done it once. We haven't activated it yet.
Do you have self-parking on it?
Yeah, we do.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, but it's... I don't know. We haven't been able to figure it out yet. It's very.
Did you guys ball out for the automated driving model?
No way. It's just chip. I'm like, you can update it at any time. If you want to get ballsy and fancy, you know, you can have that chip put in for 10 or 15 grand. I'm like, babe. Because she wouldn't trust it anyway. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I guarantee Elon Musk robots will drive better than you, Beck. I'm just throwing that out. And fucking Callum.
Also, give it a little while. You don't want to be in the beta test for, you know, robot chauffeurs.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, let's get back to some more MMA stuff real quick before we wrap this one up and do some questions. Harrington, what else is big in the world?
I mean, this is, you know, Mr. Arkansas himself, Bryce Mitchell, seems to have taken the spot of Bo Nickel on that UFC 282 card. Bryce was supposed to fight his own fight night main event against, I believe it's Mosvar Evilov. Evilov was injured, so stepping in for him is Ilya Toparia, who also was matched up against somebody else, Edson Barboza, who got injured. So they're just putting these two undefeated featherweights against each other on that UFC 282 card.
That's a sick fight, and that's someone you need to speak to, Brian. Bryce Mitchell, he's out of his mind with the flat earthing stuff. Do you follow him on Instagram?
We are not the same. He's into some wild shit.
He's out of his mind with his flat earth stuff. I kind of want to get him on and just like, you know.
Let's do it.
I've tried, but he wants paying apparently. So I'm like, all right, right on, buddy. But he's out of his mind with that stuff. But where he's not out of his mind is in the octagon. My God, can that guy fight? Can he grapple? That's the main thing. Ilya Topuria, same thing. They're both undefeated. Topuria is more of a striker. Bryce Mitchell, tremendous grappling. That is a fantastic fight. Tito Ivasa versus Sergey Pavlovich. That's been announced for the December 3rd fight in Orlando. I mean,
how great is that card, by the way?
Who else is on that?
That is Wonderboy versus Kevin Holland. There's like three or four other super fun action fights on that card.
I'm going to Orlando for a UFC fight. I hope it's that one.
But yeah, for sure. It has to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is. All right, let's just hear from rockauto.com. Rockauto.com, they've been around forever. They've been in business for over 20 years, providing people with all the car parts that they need. And you know why they've been in business for over 20 years? It's because A, they have everything. like literally everything that you want. But more importantly, they have it at the most competitive prices that you will find. It's an online service. You just go to rockauto.com. There's no promo code needed because it's so cheap. And then because of that, you don't have to waste time going there. You don't have to get sold some crap that you don't need. You don't have to park the car. You don't have to get stressed in traffic. You don't have to deal with anything. You can sit on your ass, go to your phone, laptop, tablet, whatever your preferred method is. Maybe you're a PC guy. Maybe you're a Mac, whatever. RockAuto.com. You go to that website, it's got it all. Whatever you need, it's there at the cheapest possible prices. As I said, no promo code because everything's so cheap already. If you need something for your car and you don't buy it from RockAuto.com, I mean, what are you even doing with your life? There it is, RockAuto.com. No code. Just tell them that you heard about them here on the Believe You Me podcast. Title of Vassar, Sergey Pavlovich. I mean, are you familiar with Sergey Pavlovich? Do you know who he is? Can you picture him right now?
Yeah. I remember I've watched his last, I think, like three fights because they've all been on like cards I've been watching.
No, he is a wrecking machine. I forget who it was, his last few fights, but he's knocking everybody out. I mean, he hits hard.
Derek Lewis,
that was one of them. Then he fought back in London at the start of the year, knocked somebody out there.
Shamil Abdurakhimov.
Yeah. No, the man's unreal. He's only got one loss, I believe, on his record. Yeah, look at that guy. He hits hard as a motherfucker. Knocked out Derek Lewis last time. That tells you everything. Tied to Avasa, of course, last time we saw him. Cyril Garn in Paris, didn't go his way. Almost finished the fight, dropped Cyril, but Cyril came back and finished him. I love Tito Avasa. Maybe that's why I'm concerned. I shouldn't be concerned. The two top heavyweights, they can both fight. They both love it. They both love a row. They both love to get in there and throw down. But I'm such a fan of Tito Avasa coming back after a knockout against Cyril Garn. I'm like, is this, you know, a smart matchup? I don't know. And he would probably say, shut up, mate. You're a fucking pussy. Listen, mate, this is what we've got to do. We've got to fight. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. But I'm just such a fan that I want to see him do big things, you know?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, there's guys like Dawkins out there. There's guys who are coming off of a loss at heavyweight. And that's the reason that they typically match guys coming off wins versus guys coming off wins and guys coming off losses against guys coming off losses. Because this is a really tough spot for Tito Avasa to be looking at, you know, coming off of that loss in a massive spot to fight a guy who's on a 4-fight win streak. Absolutely leveling people. He's got 4 straight first round knockouts. This is one hell of a tough fight. But I mean, that is why we love Tito Avasa.
And it's why we love this sport as well. It's why mixed martial arts is so popular, certainly the UFC. And it is. Listen, I love boxing. But it's fair to say now, I think UFC has surpassed boxing. Of course, you still got the big, big, massive fights. You know, those big, big, huge boxing fights that happen every so often. And when they take place, it is something special.
Joshua versus Fury, that still has never happened.
It's not going to happen. Now Tyson Fury is fighting Derek Chisora for a third time, a fight that no one wants to see. We talked about this Monday, so we won't stay on it. But Tito Avasa, there he is. I mean, as I was saying, it's why we love this sport. All right, I saw this from Uriah Hall, obviously, just put it out there for the believers. Uriah Hall retired from MMA. He'll also be in action this weekend, fighting on the undercard of Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. And he was sharing some thoughts and some dark times that he went through his retirement from MMA, right?
Right. Yeah. So he just detailed it a little bit. You know, he got some time in the open workouts there because he is fighting Le'Veon Bell, as you said, on this boxing card. But yeah, I mean, he just went into it. This is somebody who's been a martial artist his entire life. So just facing that, you know, facing that the post retirement has been just settling in a pretty deep depression for him.
Yeah. Well, he actually went a bit further than that, didn't he? And he said that, you know, there was definitely moments there where he was contemplating ending it all. You know, he said, you know, he was looking at his revolver, looking at his gun, and thought, you know, I could just end it right now. So obviously very, very dark days. And you know, it's such a shame for someone like Uriah Hall, because Uriah, you know, listen, we had a couple of stupid little spats over the years, but nothing personal. I don't really know the guy, and he doesn't really know me, you know, just two guys. They were cocky in the same weight class, you know, we were bound to clash a little bit. But he was so talented. You know, and he came off the Ultimate Fighter with such an amount of hype. It was incredible. I mean, remember that knockout that he landed with the spinning back kick from death. You know what I mean? It was unbelievable. And, you know, and he had some amazing performances, like when he knocked out Gegard Mousasi, obviously knocked out Anderson Silva in his final fight. But, well, in Anderson's final fight. But I don't think he ever reached his true potential in MMA. I really don't. You know, he could have gone a lot further. And I think that's partly why, A, he retired, because obviously he's getting older, but B, you know, that's why he's having these dark moments, because you step away, you dedicate your life to something for as long as you do. And it really, when you're a professional athlete, a boxer, a fighter, whatever it is, whatever kind of sport, it just takes everything. Everything, just every ounce that you have, you think about this sport, you think about what you can do to get better, and you push yourself and you strive for excellence. And it is just all you know. Obviously, if you've got a wife and children, you've got a family, that you manage to separate the two. But other than that, that's it. It's this. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I pay the bills. This is what gets me out of bed in the morning. This is what drives me in fucking life. And then when it doesn't pan out to how you wanted it to be, and then when, you know, you have to retire and step away, and then that is gone and there's that void, you know, you see so many people say this, and it always kept me up at night. It always had me worried and concerned, because you hear about it all the time. People do go through depression. People do hit rock bottom. People do. That's why fighters always come back coming out of retirement. You don't see that so much in other sports, because other sports kind of retire you. You know what I mean? Fighters retire from fighting, boxing, sport, MMA, whatever. But if you're not good enough at football or whatever, they'll retire you. So you don't really have that choice. And I'm sure there's many other athletes in every walk of life that go through these dark times. But, you know, I was sad to see that from you, Raya. It was, you know, never want to hear that.
Well, so I was going to ask about that. So like that concept, like I couldn't agree with you more, right? I love Uriah Hall. That whole season of The Ultimate Fighter was built around Uriah Hall has arrived, right? Like this is the Uriah Hall showcase season. So, I mean, it's kind of messed up, because his basement coming in was like a single time world champion, right? Like everybody kind of assumed it was just a matter of time before this guy was going to be fighting for titles. And he never even got into that like real title picture. So, I mean, yeah, like when you have that set of expectations on you, obviously, like there's a massive weight following you. But I mean, do you think that's where it comes down to, is like that failing to win the belt, right? Failing to reach that mountaintop that was set as like a goal for you before you even got into the thing, is the reason for that upsetness? Or is that just a natural thing when sports are no longer a part of your life?
I think yeah, it's when sports are no longer a part of your life or your chosen sport. Of course, there's not living up to your potential, you know, as well. I think that's part of it. And not so much that you never went out and became champion of the world. Listen, a very small amount of people achieve that, you know. But if you achieve your potential, I think that's what's most important for people, you know, for within ourselves, you know what I mean? If we know we went out there and we did our best and we tried and we gave it our all, you know, that's why you always say you got to leave it all in the octagon, you know, because it's only afterwards when you have a shitty fight, you're like, I could have done so much more. I didn't fight. I didn't show up. I didn't prepare in training camp. I didn't do my running. That they're the ones that keep you up at night. But if you fucking empty the tank, you do everything you can, you leave no stone unturned in preparation, and you lose, and you fight your ass off in the octagon as well, then you can sleep well at night. So, well, do you know what? The guy was better than me. And, you know, going back to what you said about becoming world champion, yeah, great. If you can do that, great. But if you were never destined necessarily to be a world champion, but you still managed to go out there, you made it to the UFC, you had a long, fruitful career, you made some money, you opened some doors, hey, well, that's fantastic as well. You know, not everyone's destined to be a champion of the world. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about me or trying to bring that some complimentary way to myself there. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think I was a guy that was destined for that. But some people are, some people aren't. And if you're one of the guys that aren't, and you can still make a successful run out of it, and you can still change your trajectory in life, you know, then fucking hell, that's a mission accomplished. But it's when you step away from it all, that's where athletes always struggle. And that's what always worried me, stepping away, going back to a normal routine lifestyle. getting a job down a factory, becoming one of the lads on the building site again. That terrified me. Not because I think I'm better than that, because I'm not better than that, you know? Those people are better than me in many ways because they get out of fucking bed and they literally break their backs. Well, not literally, that would be me. But you know what I mean? They get out and they work their fucking asses off and they're hardworking, honest people, you know? But, you know, you get used to a certain lifestyle when you become an athlete or a sportsman. And you want to hold on to that and you want to maintain it. So that keeps you working hard, but it also keeps you wondering and panicking and stressing what you're going to do afterwards, you know? And yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. So yeah, nice to see that Uriah's boxing this weekend. He's going to get to scratch that itch. Who is he fighting? Who's his opponent?
Former NFL running back Le'Veon Bell, who made his debut into boxing, boxing another former NFL running back, Adrian Peterson, on the KSI card a few months back.
Ah, okay. Okay. So, all right. Fingers crossed, and you guys should go out there and handle this one pretty easy, I would have thought.
Should.
All right. Listen, we're going to go through the main the card that's going on this weekend at the Apex. I'll be there. Rebecca will be there. Anthony Smith will be there. And yeah, we'll be talking about the fights on Monday. We'll give you a roundup on the Jake Paul nonsense. Hopefully Anderson Silva knocks him out. But this Saturday, we'll end with this. Kelvin Kattar taking on Arnold Allen, the man of few words, but the man of many wins. Few words, many wins, unbeaten in the UFC, 9-fight win streak, you know, quietly developing a little bit of hype. Last time knocked out Dan Hooker, going up against Kelvin Kattar. Last time we saw him was against Josh Emmett. Back and forth fight, split decision victory for Emmett. I spoke to Kelvin yesterday. He's pissed off at that result. He feels that he got robbed. He was vocal about it at the time. A lot of people kind of felt the same way as well. It's an interesting fight because, you know, there is something special about Arnold Allen, you know. Hey, he's not the best on the microphone, but he's one of the – no, I'm just being honest, and he's not that guy, and he's happy to be that guy. He's like, no, I do my talking in the octagon, and that talking in the octagon is very good, very, very well-rounded, takes his craft very seriously, training at home, but training remotely with Faraz Zahabi, always sending his – sparring footage, always doing Zooms, like they'll set up a camera and Faraz will be watching from Montreal and all this type of thing. So he's like really, really pushing himself, training with Leon Edwards and that whole team up at Renegade up there, along with Jai Herbert and many others. So, you know, great in the clinch, great on the ground, very, very strong, great athlete. Kelvin Kattar, we know that guy, amazing boxing, forward pressure, incredible work, good low kicks, calf kicks. What do you think, Harrington? Who wins? I can't make a pick.
I mean, it's so tough, right? Both friends of the show. That's important too. Both have come on. Both have been gracious enough to give us their time and their perspective on some things. So I don't feel like I can go wrong picking either way because I am picking friend of the show. But to me, it comes down to the fact that Kelvin Kattar was nice to a friend of mine recently. So I'm gonna pick. Yeah, Kelvin Kattar was cool. He shared Shane Gillis's sketch show. And I mean it's that close to me, right? It to me, honestly, the actual analysis for me is whoever takes a step back first, because both of these guys live. They thrive on putting pressure on their opponent, right? Like whoever can get the other one to take a step back first. And I have no clue who that's going to be until they step into the cage. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. Pick the underdog.
Well, it's going to be a good fight. I'll tell you that. So don't miss that one.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, no, it's a sick fight. It really is. It might be flying under the radar, but ESPN, ESPN Plus, wherever it is, make sure you tune in for that one. And, you know, your boy's back on the microphone. Co-main event, Max Griffin, Tim Means. I mean, Tim Means, the Dirty Bird, if that's even what he's calling himself these days. Is it still the Dirty Bird? It was the Dirty Bird for a long time. I don't know why he calls himself the Dirty Bird, but I like it. He's been around forever. A shit ton of UFC fights. Max Griffin, I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch. So that's a sensational co-main event. Trayshawn Gore, he's going up against Josh Friend. But opening the main card, this is one I want to talk about. Dustin Jacoby taking on Khalil Rountree Jr. Dustin Jacoby was in the UFC years ago, got cut, went off, went to kickboxing, became a glory kickboxing champion. I think he became the champ. Come back to the UFC now, and I think he's on a 9 or 10 fight unbeaten streak. One draw against Iwan Kutalaba. He's fucking great. He's great on the microphone. He's great to talk to. He's got an awesome personality inside the octagon, puts it all together. And Khalil Rountree, I mean, that man's a monster. If he's on his, if it's a good day for him, you're in a lot of trouble. So that's a tremendous fight opening up the main card. And Khalil, he's been very open recently with a lot of like struggles of anxiety and nerves and pressure and things like that. And he was even talking about it yesterday. So, and I really find it refreshing, you know, that a guy in this kind of sport that is so macho, you know, and so like driven by testosterone, if you will, and, you know, you can't show any weakness and all that type of thing, that he's been so open and talking about his struggles and his nerves and his anxiety, because we all got through them. So fair play to him for being so honest.
Hell yeah. Isn't Dustin friends with Anthony
Smith? Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He trains at Extreme Couture with him, right?
Not at Extreme Couture. It was Factory X.
Factory X. Sorry about that. Yeah. 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 And he was, right. I don't know. The way that Anthony was talking about Dustin being an absolute killer for that division and somebody who's definitely, you know, lurking in the wings in fringe contendership, I'm excited to see him fight.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So Anthony says that he's great and you'll get excited. I give him a full resume, talk about his unbeaten streak.
Nothing.
But you go back to a couple of shows ago where Anthony made a passing reference that he's great. And you're like, Anthony Smith on his podcast said that he's awesome. So let's get excited.
That easy for me. I'm so easy to win over. If you tell me a guy's good, here's the thing. Any guy who you've ever said was really good when you train with him at Ruka, I file that away as like, all right, I'm betting on this guy next time.
No, I know, I know. Andrei Arlovsky back in action this weekend. I mean, come on. This guy's wild. How old? Let's have a look. I'm clicking on his Wikipedia. No need to look it up.
48.
He is. This makes me feel old as fuck. He's 43. Same age as me. I'm 44 in February. How is Arlovsky the same? that just shows I wasted my youth when I was younger, didn't I? Jesus Christ. He was in the UFC and I was DJ Mikey B in it. My God. What was his first ever UFC fight? There it is. UFC. Oh, no. That was not his first. UFC 28.
Oh, yeah.
In the year 2000. UFC 28.
Damn.
Yeah. I thought I was only on 66, and he fought on 66 as well. UFC 66 against Marcio Cruz. Anyway, yeah, it's unreal that he's still going. So shout out. I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Unreal that he's still going and still getting wins in 2022. He is on a 4-fight win streak heading into this.
Yeah, Chase Sherman, Carlos Felipe, Jared Vandera, Jake Collier. I mean, it's unreal. Jake Collier, he's an interesting one. But anyway, there it is. We're going to be back on Monday. Harrington, great job as always.
Thank you.
Great job, Brian, as always. Great job, Bo Nickel, for the first time ever.
Thanks,
Monday, Bob. We'll be back. Harrington, what have you got to say to everyone?
What I've got to say to everyone is if that you're watching on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. You leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to the channel. You hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you're watching in the live premiere, that like button's right there. Just go hit it. Also, if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And Monday, we'll be doing a lot of questions. No doubt you people have been sending them in, but bympod@gmail.com one more time is the website. Brian, let me ask you a question, because we were asking people to send in t-shirt designs. Did we get a few?
We did get a few. I'll set up like a little reel so we can just look through them on Monday.
Yeah, we'll go through them on the show on Monday. Yeah. So if you've got a t-shirt design, send it in. If you've got a video, send it in. Make us laugh. And if it's non-MMA, we love that as well, because, you know, we like to talk about all sorts of things. Enjoy your fights. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your free time. But come back Monday night, 9 p.m. PT. We are dropping another episode. All the best. Take care. One more time, Harrington. Thank you very much.